It seems like there's always, yes, I'm on.
When are we going to do the second service?
Say it again?
Second offering.
Oh, thanks.
At the end of the
sure. Remind me to take the offering after the second, after the message. I totally, how I forgot again. I'm not into taking money too much, but you know, money does make the world go round, doesn't it? You kind of need it to pay the bills. But how I love Jesus. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, if you're there, we're going to read down from verse 1 to verse 5. But I want you to think about that song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Why? Because He first loved me. There's not a soul on the earth, please listen, there's not a person that's ever lived. Not Peter, James, John, not Paul, not evangelist, not a prophet, not a preacher that's ever lived that loved Jesus not because He first loved him. The love of God is something wonderful. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? I mean, when you get that in your heart, when you get that in your mind, whoever you are, and you just let that seep in and it touches your soul, something about that, something about the love of God coming in to a sinful, fallen man, it just does something to you. Problem is, we hear it a lot, and we have it up here, but we don't let it get in to hear. And that's what I'm hoping and praying we do that. That's Wednesday. Revelation chapter 2. Are y'all there? Look what it says. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted." Verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Let's pray. Father, God in heaven, our Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray through His Spirit. We pray through His blood. We pray through His sacrifice, His sufferings, His groanings. We pray by His stripes that we are healed. We pray by the death, burial, and the resurrection. We pray by the almighty hand of God. And we pray that Jesus Christ, who's coming back again to meet us in the clouds in the air, to take us away as His bride. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we ask that the Spirit of the living God would come upon each and every one of us today and give us ears to hear and give us a heart to receive the truth. Because this is Your voice to us. This is Your word to Your people. Help us to pay attention and to hear it and change our hearts and change our lives. And in some people's case, change their direction forever. And we'll pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Verse 4, He says this, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." I just want you to think that if God has somewhat against you, if Jesus Christ has something against you, I think you ought to pay attention, don't you? Don't you think as a person, as a human being, as whoever you are in your relationship with God, don't you think that if God says to you, "I know you're doing good, I know all the things you're doing, I know all that, but I have somewhat against you," shouldn't we pay attention? That's what I want you to do today. Read it again. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you." And He tells us, because thou hast left thy first love. And He says the remedy here in verse 5. "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." This message is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In all His glory, and John sees Him, and what he sees is Jesus having seven stars in His right hand. And it goes on to tell you, if you look up in the chapter ahead, right before 2, it tells you in verse 20, it says, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou saw are the seven churches. He has the spirits of the church in his hand. Jesus Christ, who walks amongst the seven golden candlesticks, he walks among his people, he walks among his churches all throughout the world, and he sees and he holds in his right hand the spirit of the church. The spirits of the church. And he alone, it says in Proverbs 16:2, that all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. See, the Lord knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. The Lord, you've come this morning, and I'm thank you for coming. But I don't know why you've come. God does. He knows the spirits that's in you right now. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God, that's Jesus Christ, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. Piercing. Let the Word of God pierce you. Let the Word of God enter in. Let the Word of God... See, a lot of times people, they shut the Word of God out because they may not want to hear it. I don't know why people come to a church like this, Rich. With all the preaching that I do, all the screaming and hollering and yelling and jumping up and down that I do, and they don't want to listen. I'm like, why do you even come if you don't want to listen, right? But here it says the piercing and dividing asunder soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And it says, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So right now, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus Christ Himself, is walking in the midst of this candlestick right here. And He's holding the spirit of the church. And He sees and He weighs and He knows why you're here. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what's on your heart. And He sees something. He says, I know your labors. I know your patience. I know your faith. He says, but I have somewhat against you. And you say, what, Lord? What do you have against me? You've left your first love. And you say, what? I have? He says, yes, I see it in your heart. And this is what he says. He says, remember, thou therefore, and repent, and do the first work. So the message today is about remember. I'm going to give you something that God wants us to remember. God wants us to have a zeal. God wants us to have a passion. He wants us to have a love for Him and for His Son. You see, that's what he's saying. You've left your first love. And when you talk about your first love and you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we sang, oh, how I love Jesus because He first loved me. When a soul truly is transformed by the love of God that enters into a person's heart. Why? Because I'm a sinful man, a woman. I belong in hell. My sins have found me out. The Word of God has judged me and I've been found wanting and I will die in my sin and go to hell. But then came along God and Jesus Christ steps in and said, but I'll pay for them. I'll take their sin. I'll take their punishment. I'll take their judgment. Jesus, and he didn't just take it on him and then go. He literally had to be beaten and torn apart and what he did for you. It's like blows your mind if you will just allow the cross and allow the sacrifice of Jesus enter in. Because that is the one thing I believe is lacking. Because we've forgotten some things and he asks us to remember. When you think about that zeal and that passion, that love for him, for his word, that love and that passion for the Word of God. Something's missing. We've left our first love. How about for His presence? Just yearning and desiring after His presence. God wants us to remember. To remember some things that will help us. Can you be with me today as I try to finish this message and get you home? But at least let it not be in vain why you came. Let it be for a purpose that God wants to help you today. Do you understand that God wants to help you? Do you understand that? He brought you here and He gave me this message for you to help you. So you can remember some things that will help you out and get right with God. Because He said, I have somewhat against you. He said to repent. And get right with God. God commands His people and His children to remember. He commands us to remember certain things. There's many in the Bible and there's many. I have note after note after note. And I thought I was going to go this way, Brother Dave, with the message. But God took me this way. I was going to originally preach a message on those that remember and those that forget. But God changed the message and it was just about remember. God just wants you to remember three things today. There's plenty more. These will just touch on them, but they'll be a blessing to you and help you. If God commands us to remember, some things, because there's two types of people, like I said. There's those that remember, and then there's those, are they people that remember what God told them, and they also remember what God did for them. I don't think a day goes by that I don't remember where I came from. I don't think there's a day goes by that I don't seriously every day remember what it is that God did for me. Every day. There's never a day, at least I can't remember it. A day goes by where the whole day went by and I didn't think about, thank you, Lord. I can't believe you'd save a wretch like me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's important to think about how you think about yourself. But some people they always remember what God has told them and what God has done for them. And then there's those who forget what God has told them and what God has done for them. They have to be reminded. They just forget about it, you know. Turn with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. And what we have here in Matthew 18, we have the first thing. I'm going to give you three things to remember. And the first thing to remember is found here in Matthew 18. Say amen when you're there. Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. I want to wait till you're there. Tell me if you're there. Matthew 18, verse 21. It says, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, he's asking a serious question of God. How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter being, he's being sincere. He's being serious. He's not even in any way, shape, or form being carnal in any way. And he comes to the Lord and he wants to know, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? How many times a day? Seven times? Because he can imagine, seven's a lot. That's a lot to forgive someone in one day. And look at Jesus' response. And then Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And then Jesus goes on to elaborate. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him, say it out loud, 10,000 talents. Now just picture this, because I know that I'm jumping a little ahead. This is you. This is me. Maybe it's not you, but it's definitely me. God brought me before him and said, you owe me a lot. You've sinned against me a lot. Now look what it says in verse 25. It says, for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him that debt. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That he just forgave him. Well, let me put it in perspective for you, because a talent is 75 pounds. One talent is 75 pounds. So you figure 75 pounds of gold. That's a lot. Well, it was 10,000 talents of gold is what he owed him. That is 750,000 pounds of gold. And in today's market, that's $15 billion. So he's telling us that there was a man, when he's telling me this, I'm like, that was me. And I'm like, I owed a debt that I could never pay. I owed God a debt that no matter how much I worked, no matter what I did, no matter how much I sacrificed, there's not a chance, no way, no how I could ever pay him this back. And here it was $15 billion, and that was back then. So I'm just saying, it's a debt astronomical. So he says to him, he falls down and says, Lord, just be patient with me. I'll pay you. And the Lord's probably like, yeah, right. And he said, listen, I forgive it to you. Forgive it all. You don't owe me a dime. And all of a sudden that guy was like, could you imagine the feeling of that man? Could you imagine the like, what? You did what? Here this guy was given such an amazing forgiveness, right? Can I get an amen? And here, look what happens. He literally, and you know the story, he literally forgot about it like that. Please keep reading the story. It says in verse 28, it says, "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. That's like $100. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat saying, 'Pay me that you owe us.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'I have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all.' But he would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very, very sorry. And they came and told it unto their Lord, all that was done." Then, in verse 32, "Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And the Lord was wroth, and delivered him into the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. And look what Jesus said, 'So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto,'" say the word, "you." Ready? Say the word, "you. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Wow. Right there, I want someone to sink in and say, this is the word of God to you. He said, you have to remember what it is that you've been forgiven. You've got to remember what it is and the amount that God forgave you. We've got to remember what it was, and because you could never repay. And right now, there's people in the tormentors, in hell, paying and paying and paying forever and ever. Endeavor. You have to remember what it cost Jesus Christ to forgive you. The first thing you got to remember to do is just remember what it is that you're saved from. See, there's a story coming up, and I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6. And as you're turning there, I want you to think about a debt that you can never repay. I want you to think about you. Just you, no one else. And I want you to think about everything that Jesus Christ forgave you for. Do you know Jesus Christ forgave you for everything you've ever done? Do you know He also forgave you for everything you ever will do? All the sins that you could ever do from past, present, and future are all forgiven. I mean, He paid a debt for you. Do you understand that? He forgave you, but it cost Him something. He had to pay a great deal to get you off the hook. So you need to remember what it is you've been saved or forgiven from. And you got to also remember what it cost Him to forgive you. The man was forgiven so much, yet he forgot in his heart what was done for him. Because as soon as he went to someone else owed him, he didn't remember. As soon as he left, and he was forgiven this great debt, Brother Keith, as soon as he met someone else that owed him, he didn't forgive him. And that's us on a daily basis. And God sees it. And He is somewhat against us. He says, I've forgiven you so much. What is one of my... I want you to remember, the first thing you need to remember is you got to forgive. You must... I'm not going to say it. I can't say it. You must. It's imperative that each and every one of you forgive. Because Jesus said, if you do not forgive, I will not forgive. And He said, just the same thing as this person, I will do unto you. See, we take it as, yeah, right, I'm forgiven. So you don't understand the whole story. You got to know the whole counsel of God. You got to understand everything. Jesus Christ paid an amazing debt for you, and all God's asking you to do is remember that you've been forgiven everything. So therefore, you better not hold anything against someone else. You better not be angry with someone else. You better not say, you owe me. Because God sees it, and He sees your heart, and He sees what's going on. And that will cause you, unforgiveness will cause you to lose your first love. Because if you keep fresh in your mind how much you owe Him, if you keep fresh in your mind what He saved you from, If you keep fresh in your mind what you deserve and what you're getting, that'll keep you close to Jesus. So what happens is we forget, just like this guy did. He forgot how much he was forgiven, and immediately he didn't forgive. Matthew chapter 6, are you there? Matthew chapter 6, look in verse 9 with me. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see that? And then he goes on to say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Jesus immediately follows, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see, he just gave us the Lord's Prayer, Brother Joe, but he didn't talk about anything else except the forgiveness part. That's the only thing, that's the most important thing on God's mind for you, is that I forgave you, and look what it took for me to forgive you. Remember that. Remember that. And he wants us to remember. Look back in Matthew 5. Here we have another little story I want to talk to you about. Jesus said, forgive or God will not forgive you. If we will not forgive others, God will not even hear our prayers. See, God sees our hearts, and the very first thing that He cares about is how you forgive others. That you become an extension of Christianity, an extension of God's grace, God's mercy. I've been forgiven, so guess what? There's no one on this earth that I can't forgive. I've been forgiven all, so there's no person on this earth that I should hold anything towards. So many people in this room right now, I guarantee you, in your heart of hearts, there's someone you have not forgiven. There's someone you just say, I will not forgive them for that. It says here in Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 22, it says, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now look what he says. Verse 23 is what I want you to see. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there, say the word, rememberest that thy brother has aught anything against thee. Look what he says to do. Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thine gift. Here, God is telling us that when we come to God in prayer, when we come to God in praise, when we come to God in worship, when we come to God in love, and we have gifts of sacrifice, of praise on our lips to offer to Him, He says, stop. Remember now, before you offer me anything, before you even come to me with a prayer, stop and remember, is there anyone out there at all that you have aught feelings towards? Is there anyone out there at all? Let the Holy Spirit, because it says when they came to do it, the Holy Spirit went and brought a memory. If there's someone in this room that you have aught feelings towards, you need to go and make that right with them. You need to go to them and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I was thinking bad about you. Please forgive me. I was jealous. Please forgive me, I was envious. Forgive me, I just got angry, and it's not right. And the Holy Spirit's telling me I need to forgive you, and I'm asking, please, will you forgive me? You see, he says, if you have anything against someone else, but then he goes, and if anyone else has something against you. Man, God is tough, isn't he? He doesn't just let it slide. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, Lord, you know, Bob, please forgive me. I was mad at you because you ate my last donut, you know? And I was like, oh, that Bob, he's up. But God, Bob, please forgive me. And the guy's like, okay, you got it right with Bob. Now, is there anyone out there that's mad at you? Yeah, but I didn't do nothing wrong. They're just mad because they're idiots. You know what I mean? That's their fault. God's like, Is there anyone out there that you know has got a problem with you?
Wow.
God, are you serious? I mean, I got to get that. Like, really? God's like, yes. I'm God. I hold the Spirit. I know your heart. I know the intents. We can't move on together until I forgave you everything. I gave my life for you. I gave my son for you. My only son. I watched him cry out to me, Father, and I had to turn my back on him because of you. I watched the Romans spit in his face and mock him, and as they whipped him and his flesh was ripped off, I had to watch my son go through that for you. You think it was easy for me to do that for you? And now I'm asking you, just go and tell someone you're sorry? But I didn't do nothing. That's pride. That's pride. Just go and apologize to them, and you'll see God do a miracle and start working. See, Christianity is a whole lot deeper than just coming to church. Being a real child of God is a whole lot deeper because God looks on the inside of your heart and He sees everything. And we only want to deal with certain parts of our heart, don't we? We like, okay, God, yeah, I got a problem with anger. You know, all right, God, deal with me in anger. And God's like, you got more problems than that, buddy. Trust me. We're going to be here a long time with many sessions. But I want you to look at that. He says in that verse, verse 23, he says, leave thy gift at the altar, in verse 24. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to brother, then come and offer your gift. See, God wants us to remember that we need to forgive. Can I get an amen on that? He also wants us to remember that if we ever have anything against someone or someone has something against us, we need to go and make it right. Or God won't even hear our prayers. In 1 Peter 3:7, it tells us that if we do not forgive, if we do not honor our husband, honor our wives, it actually says wives. It says, if you do not forgive your wife, or if you do not give honor to your wife, he's talking to us, he said, you're going to hinder your prayers. See, the relationship you have with your spouse, that relationship, God looks at that relationship and says, if you can't get along with the one that you love, how are you going to get along with me? He's telling me you love me. I guess you're going to be angry with me too. We need to get a lot of things right with God. Our prayers have been hindered in many, many ways. When we come to God with our prayers and with our praise and with our worship, just remember, does anybody have anything against you? We need to go and we need to make it right. Remember to forgive is the first one. Remember what it took to forgive you is the second one. Let me talk about this for a second. It bothers me that we go, oh yeah, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. Right? Yeah, yeah, I know. You go and you witness to someone, you know Jesus loves you. Yeah, I know. He loves me. I love him because what? He first loved us. But just think about this. What did it take to forgive you? It only took the life of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. It only took the life of the only begotten Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Creator of the world, the Word of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the Author and the Finisher of our faith, the Life, the Light, the Way, the Truth, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Faithful and True Witness, the Image of the Invisible God, the Messiah, the Wonderful Counselor, the Good Shepherd, the Bright and Morning Star that all the angels bowed down to. It only took His life, the Bread of Life, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Judge, the Holy One, the High Priest, the Great I Am, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Redeemer, Emmanuel, Master, the Rock, the Great and God, our Savior. Jesus Christ is His name, but He has many other names because He is the man that was God. What it took to forgive your sins was the Alpha and the Omega, the very Creator, God of all the universe, came to this earth, became a human being, and felt what it feels like to take a Roman sword, to take a Roman's whip, to take a punch, a crown of thorns. He was beaten and crucified on the cross just for your sins. Don't ever forget that. Remember what it took. Peter said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what paid for your sin. Remember that. I love it when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that? And he went up there and then Moses and Elijah showed up. And all of a sudden, then Peter falls on his ground and says, "Oh Lord, it's good that we're here." And he says, "Let's make three tabernacles, one for you, you know, one for Peter, one for Elijah, Moses." And God shows up. God says, "No, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." See, who died for you? Who paid your sin? My beloved Son, God says. Think about that. Let that sink in. My beloved Son, the only begotten of the Father. Think about who died, who it was that paid the price. Think about the whips and the torture and the payment and the nails and the hands and the feet. Think about his lungs filling up with blood. Think about as he cried out, "Father, forgive them." Think about who it was on that cross paying the price for your and your sin alone. Remember that. See, I'll tell you right now, we've forgotten. We've fallen from our first love because we forget too easily. Remember to forgive. Why? Because you've been forgiven. Much. Amen? Remember what it took for you to be forgiven. Only the body and the blood of God's Son. But the third one, remember why. Why you're forgiven. Look in Luke chapter 7 with me, please. Say amen when you get there. Luke 7, look in verse 40. Luke 7, verse 40. Are you all there? "And Jesus answering said unto him," look what he says, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." Just like he said in the book of Revelation, you know, he says, "I have somewhat against you. I have somewhat against you." And he says to Simon, "I have somewhat to say to you." Look what he said. He said, "Master, say on." In verse 41, he tells this fact, what's going on. He said, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman at his feet, and he said, "Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." I want you to put yourself in the room with Jesus Christ that day. I want you to see the person that was at his feet, crying, anointing, kissing his feet, rubbing his feet with her hair, weeping, holding on to him, worshiping him, loving him, pouring out her soul upon him, and everyone else was sitting there looking down on her. I can't believe she's doing this, acting this way. Why is she acting that way? And Jesus said, "You see her? She loves me." Why does she love you so much? Because she's been forgiven much. And then he goes to say, "He that has been forgiven a lot, loves a lot. But he that's been forgiven a little, loves a..." Which one are you? Are you the one that loves a lot or loves a little? And you have to ask yourself, has your sins less than mine? The sins that you've been forgiven, are they less than someone else's? Did Jesus forgive you less because you had not that much to forgive? See, that's the Pharisees. That's the Pharisee in all of us. That's the pride in all of us that, yeah, he forgave me, but I'm not that bad. I didn't do drugs. I didn't curse. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. You sound exactly like the Pharisee that stood there and said, thank you, Lord, but I'm not like this one. I tithe. I give my money. I go to church. Thank you that I'm not like him. And then the other one said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a wicked sinner. Jesus said that one went away justified. See, the problem is we sit in our pews, we sit in our homes, and we're like, yeah, we're saved. Yeah, I thank Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But Jesus says, where's your love for me? And you say, oh, well, I love you. And that's what he's trying to say. You've fallen. You've fallen away from your first love. And I think about this. If you turn with me, please, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And I will not be long. Jesus asked us to remember some things. I hope this will help you to remember today. John 4:19. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 19, it says this. You ready? Can you say it out loud with me? You ready? It says, we love him because he first loved us. He tells us to remember these things. The first thing is remember that you're forgiven. Second thing it is remember what it took for you to be forgiven. And the third thing is remember why you're forgiven. You want to know why you're forgiven? Love. Love. Love is the key to everything. God so loved the world. He so loved you that he gave. If you would look in, well, matter of fact, look with me in verse 7. Verse 7 of that chapter says, beloved, let us what? Love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not. He that loveth not is not of God. Because God is love. I want that to sink in. You know it's a song, don't you? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He who loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4:7-8. They turn to a song, but keep reading, it doesn't stop there. It says in verse 9, in this was manifested, revealed the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his what? Spirit, which is love. See, if you truly are saved here today, you have received God into your heart, and God is love. You can't, it's not of yourself. God is love. You say, well, I'm just not that type. I know, but he is. You say, well, I'm not that kind of guy. Well, he is. That's why he came into you, so that you can love him. How do you love him? Because you remember what he forgave you for. How do I rekindle that love? Because you remember what it took for God to save you. Well, how do I rekindle that love? Because you remember why God did it. Because He loves you. Every single person, I don't care who it is, every person in this room wants to be loved. And many people were, you know, the reason you got married, because you met someone at a young age or whatever, and you fell in love. You know what I mean? You got in love. Why else would you get married? You're really dumb if you got married and you didn't love them. You're really stupid. But here, Jesus is called our husband. Jesus is calling us, come unto me, I love you. He's calling every single person, I want to be your husband. And the only people that would say no are people that don't love Him. Do you understand that? I love Him because He first loved us. I'm going to finish with this. And where's your daughter? No piano player? She took off? She just doesn't love me. See that? I want to keep reading. Look what it says in verse 16. Verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world." You see, we know, that's all it takes. If you want to know, am I truly saved? Am I truly going to heaven when I die? You examine yourself and see, do you love him? That's what it's all about. Do you love him? I mean, really love him. When you bare bones and strip it down, what is in your soul? What is in your heart? I don't care about anything else in your life. That's all God cares about. He sees your heart and he knows you don't really love me. But if you truly love him, that's why you know that he's yours and yours his. And you're going to stand before the Lord one day in boldness and say, "Lord, I've been waiting my whole life to meet you." It's a wonderful thing, but keep reading and I'll finish. It says in verse 18, it says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, but we love him because he first loved us. If a man say," please listen, we're almost finished. "If a man say, I love God and hates his brother," say it out loud, church, He is a. Why do you think I spent so much time on forgiving someone? Jesus said, if you have aught against anybody, forgive them. If anybody has aught against you, go to them. Ask them to forgive you. But I didn't do anything. Pride. Pride will send your soul right to hell. Pride will keep God away from you. For God resists the proud. You come to, and he gives grace to the lowly. You come to God and you ask, even asking for salvation. You have pride in your heart. He's pushing you away from him. It says here, verse 19, "We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar whom he has," look what he says, "for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask Brian to start that music. I want you to think of these three things to remember throughout the rest of the week. Remember to forgive. Remember that if you have anyone that you need to ask forgiveness, you need to go do it. Remember if anyone has anything against you, you're like, "But I didn't do anything, but I know." God's telling you, go to that person and ask them to forgive you. And then remember what it took to forgive you. Remember what it actually took. It was the Son of God, his body, his blood being torn up. Brian, I'm waiting. Remember the third thing. Why? Why did God allow his Son to suffer, bleed and die? Because he loves you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Why don't you stand to your feet right now? And this is a good time to leave your seat and come to this old-fashioned altar and tell the Lord you love him. You kindle the love affair. It's a good time to ask God to forgive you. cleanse you, to wash you. But more importantly than anything, why don't you ask God to reveal to you who has something against you? Who do I need to ask to forgive me? Who do I need to say, go up to that person and say, forgive me, I thought bad of you. Forgive me, I said something wrong about you. Forgive me. These are beautiful words. That's the way God will hear your prayer. But first, you must forgive. There's someone out there today that's been holding on to it. Something happened to them when they were young. And they are, their whole life they've been trying to cover it over, to hide it. But it's still there. Because you were hurt deep. God's saying, forgive them. Forgive them. Say the words. Say, I forgive. Let yourself hear yourself say. Say, I forgive them. If you know their name, say it in your mind, in your heart. I forgive them. Let the spirit of forgiveness wash over you. Let the spirit of mercy, the spirit of grace, heal your broken heart. Forgive, because you've been forgiven. Remember what it took to forgive you. The blood of God's Son. If anyone out there today who wants to open their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, Him alone, and ask Him to come in to save you, to be one with you, it's only as far away as a prayer right now. Can you forgive yourself? Forgive yourself. God has. With faith in your heart, say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, a sinful person. I know it. I know I have hatred in my heart. I know I have pride in my heart. I know many things in my heart. I know that's going to take me to hell. But I believe now that you love me. You love me. And I believe you. I trust you. I'm asking you, Jesus, to come in. Come into my heart. I give you permission. Save my soul from hell. Give unto me thy blood upon my soul. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me of all my sin. And help me to love you and to love one another. Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for all those that are at the altar. Thank you for all those who are on their seats. I pray, Lord, don't let anyone leave this building lost. Don't let anyone leave this building going to a devil's hell. Let them come and ask, and we'll show them in the Bible the Word of God that they can put their faith in. Father, we love you and we thank you for your Word. Please apply it to our hearts. Help us to go with the remembering that you forgave us, so we need to forgive others. The second thing, remember what it cost us to be forgiven. Your own body. And the third, remember why you forgive us. Because you love us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.